Blog Talk Radio.
I apologize if that sounded all distorted. It looks like it did because Mandar's complaining. And Lord knows he would never complain unless there was a real good reason for it. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. Yeah, I don't know what was going on with those files. Like we said, that ridiculous intro was just nuts. It was crazy going nuts, as they say.
Well, hold on. Let's see if we sound any better here. Voice is fine, we are told. All right. All right. So hold on. Before we get too far into this, let me play a quick sound clip, and you guys can tell me how it sounds, okay? If it doesn't sound right, then we've got a problem. But if not, then we'll move on. So hold on. Let me find something short but audible. Here, we'll try. Where is it? Of course I can't find it. Here we go. All right, chat room, did that sound clip sound okay? Obviously that was the Rangers victory song. So let us know in the chat room and then we can move on. No, I'm not playing the Kiss song, Frosty. I'm sorry. Well, voice is good, so we'll start from there. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Tonight is Wednesday. It is October 13th. My voice has returned, thank God. Today, just like this afternoon, I really got my voice back. It's not completely back, but my daughter said that I sounded much better than I did yesterday, and on Monday I could barely talk because I left my voice in Houston this weekend watching the Giants and screaming and yelling and all of that, and on Monday. I mean, I have a video that I shot Monday as we're leaving Houston, Eddie, and I'm literally like, all right, so we're in the car on the way to the airport. Here we go. I played it for my wife last night, and she's just laughing at me. You sound like an idiot. I said, well, I act the part.
The volume is way too low. I can't hear the show.
Quality is fine, but the volume is way too low. Turn up your speakers.
Turn up your speakers. It's a quick release.
I have my my microphone's all the way up. Speakers are, turn up your speakers. What can I tell you? She was commenting on my Facebook where we're going with this.
Might as well go.
Are we that predictable? Error. Upon further review, I have been sent to Hartford. I used to share Marilyn Monroe with my brother Bobby. Now I share a room with Wade Redden. What the hell is going on?
I will do John Tortorella's bidding. Trust in torts.
Era, why? My father was a bootlegger. He would never have stood for this. I was on PT 109. Kevin Costner was in a movie about me. Two of them, actually.
What a world.
Yes, that's the one. And the era Field of Dreams.
Oh, Connecticut. Well, embrace me. I am Tim Kennedy.
I don't know what's worse, the fact that I'm going to play in Connecticut and Hartford, or the fact that Mitch Beck will be up my ass from now until the end of the season, or until I get recalled, Era. Please, I'm begging you, trade me back to Buffalo.
And Mitch Beck will be sharing a plate of frozen French fries.
And Era, Costa is the first one to complain. Congratulations.
You are a malcontent, Costa. You will be eradicated, eradicated.
My brother is the Attorney General. He took on Hoffa.
All right. I guess we had our bit of... I was going to say, Hawaii!
you know what would be great is if they bounce him back and forth like they did with Matt Zaba and Chad Johnson, so that every week when we start the show, I've been recalled.
I am back.
You know what? You and I are laughing at it, so it can't be getting old.
Yeah.
So anyway, good evening to all of you in the chat room. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio, the only place to talk New York Rangers hockey and mix in the insanity along the way. The Rangers are currently 1-1. And since I was away for the weekend, I have not watched the Buffalo game yet. I started with actually watched the Islander game first because I was fresh off the plane Monday. The game had just ended, so I had no idea what was going on. Obviously, I already knew what went on in Buffalo on Friday night. So I watched the Islander game first, which was a mistake. But, Eddie, why don't you take us through the Buffalo game and what you saw, what you liked, what you give us the highlights, the lowlights, everything you want, and then we'll move on to the Islander game.
Well, I got to tell you, I was a little bit of a smitten kitten on on opening night with that Stepan's mom, and she's got that million-dollar smile. I told my wife, before I get to the real stuff, I told my wife, you know, you could have a hockey boyfriend. Well, I'm into the hockey player MILF.
You know, I saw more comments on Twitter. I was kind of checking in over the weekend and just see what, and I kept seeing comments on was this kid's mother.
I mean, she's not like super super hot, but from abroad from Wisconsin, she's pretty nice. Nice smile.
Now, what is that?
On the eyes.
What is that supposed to mean? Is there something about women from Wisconsin? Got to be careful there.
I've been to Wisconsin.
Midwestern women.
Yeah, but the people in Wisconsin now, those women are bred for the cold weather, if you know what I mean. They've got they got guts like the size of mine over there. Big birthing thighs. No, I've been there. I've been down that area. It's pretty brutal. Let me talk to the game. Now I feel like people are like, hey, you really don't have no place to criticize. You're a fat man. Well, guess
coming up,
what?
Coming up next week, the governor of Wisconsin.
Yeah, next week.
Miss Wisconsin. Yeah. Miss Wisconsin's going to be on the show.
All that dairy they have. Anyway, let's talk about the Ranger game. First of all, what was up with those Sabre uniforms? I don't know if you could. I felt like they were playing Sweden. We were in the Olympics again. I was half expecting Hedrick to be in goal for Buffalo in that game. I did not like those uniforms.
Now, which uniforms were they wearing? Because I thought
they have a brand spanking new blue and yellow uniform that says Sabres in front of it, I believe. Yeah, I think it was Sabres.
Oh, I thought they said Buffalo in kind of like a...
It was all the blur.
With the old logo, right? With the swords.
Right? No, it didn't have the swords. I don't think. No.
Oh, okay.
Terrible. It's just a terrible uniform.
Was it better than the Buffalo Slug?
I hated both of them. I didn't like the way the lettering of the guy's name was like in a highlight in a yellow box. It was like a yellow, skinny rectangle with blue letter. Just looked dumb. It looked like Olympics tournaments. So, anyway, Rangers. Let's first get off the. I want to work backwards. Was there a lot of Ranger fans already going nuts? Guys, listen. It's two games. I understand that defense looks, Michael Delzato in that last game was horrible. Horrible. Everybody wants to get on the other guys. Eminger, Roosevelt, this and that. There was no worse defenseman on the ice against the Icelanders than Michael Delzato. He was terrible. He was getting burnt left and right. Josh Bailey was making him look like a fool. And, MDZ helps up with the offense. That giveaway in front of the net. What the hell was that? It was terrible. Kid's got to get his head out of his behind. So I guess I'll regress quickly to the Buffalo game. Love the lines as they are. Now we got the Christensen injury. The Rangers really played a really good game. They came out against Buffalo with some kind of real good presence, a real good jump. It was amazing. They were actually scoring against Ryan Miller fairly easy in this game. I really thought it would be a goaltender duel, and it didn't turn out to be. Stepan and Avery and Fedotenko really were the story of that game. And Avery was fantastic in that game. I loved the lines, like I said. Third period, defensively, the Rangers were up big. They kind of lottie-dotted, kind of okey-doke the third period, let the other team kind of get back into it. But it was a great win, a great night for Stepan. We all know that. Everybody picked him up in their rotisserie leagues the next night. I can tell you that much. God, you cannot say enough about this kid and his hockey presence. I know it's very early. He's leading all rookies in goals. He's also got the best plus-minus of any rookie. I know it's very two games in, and I'm lauding these stats. But I just like the kid. And he had a good game on the island. He made a nice play on the goal that was disallowed, the Avery goal that was disallowed on that quick whistle. We'll talk about the officiating in that game a little bit later. There's no excuses for what happened on the island. It was a great game by the Rangers opening night. I really got to see some exciting hockey. And I told you that's all I want to see is this team not be boring. And the first two games, they were entertaining as hell. I don't care, you know. I was there at the mausoleum. I saw that thing. And, you know, we had a grand old time there. And, when you know, feeling a little bit depressed, you know. But we really shouldn't get too low. If it was any other team other than the Islanders or Devils, we would have just shrugged it off. It just stings a little bit more. And I just don't want to get into, oh, this guy stunk. You know, we got to get rid of this guy mode. I mean, it's already happened. I mean, you know, it's like Emminger is the worst. Yeah, I don't like Steve Emminger. I think they could do better than him. But, you know, they got smoked by late penalties really cost them. The stall high stick, and then before that, the Callahan trip, which from my vantage point looked fictitious. Later on, when I came home and I watched it on TV, I was like, well. But, you know, there's a lot of excuses. But you know what? The Rangers were up in the third period with about 6.5 minutes to go. They should have held on to the lead. They didn't. I was surprised that Tortorella was not furious. He was not upset. He was kind of just like, well, you know, we just lost. He really was, you know, laissez-faire, or whatever you want to call it about it.
Channeling Rennie.
Yeah, he was channeling Rennie. He was not. So I'm like, if he's not hot, why should I be hot about it? I mean, although I did spend money to see that debacle, I was a little upset about that. But, you know, I don't know why I had a bad feeling about that. I hate that building. The Rangers came out. Again, first period, they look like they're the deer in headlights. They just got, you know, airdropped into the rink. And, you know, play. They don't come out with any kind of a – let the Islanders forecheck check them, and the forecheck worked. The Rangers coughed the puck. Girardi made a terrible play. I mean – I still don't understand that pairing of Delzato and Girardi. Defense has got to get some work. It needs work. Offensively, I see no problem with this team. As a matter of fact, I'm leading the charge that the second line should be our first line. That's what I'm leading the charge. But what's going to happen is probably – maybe if Moses comes down from the mount, we might actually see Artemon Nisimov as the first-line center after this recent injury to Erik Christensen.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I know.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Well, I'll tell you, going back to the Buffalo game, you know how I knew about Stepan scoring the hat trick? You know how I knew that was a big story? They actually showed the highlights on ESPN. It was
wow.
I got back to our hotel. Saturday night. Flipped on ESPN, and they actually showed highlights they showed highlights on ESPN of Stepan scoring all the goals. It was like their one of their plays of the week or something like that. And I thought, wow, this is a big deal if ESPN is talking about hockey in between,
Well, it's only happened 4 times ever in the NHL. I mean,
yeah.
It was a very special moment. The first goal was kind of a gimme. It was a little bit lucky. Actually, I thought Avery had scored it. But he just shows a lot of – and Avery spoke to this too. He said he's not the fastest guy, but he's a guy who's just in the right place at the right time. He knows where to be. And I like the way he's around the net. And, I just think he's just such a – I love his disposition. You know that. And he just looked great. The Rangers looked great. I really thought that Callahan, Dubinsky, Anisimov line really has been the stellar line so far. But I kudos to the third line too. I mean, Avery and Fedotenko and Stepanov. Now Gavrik against the Islanders had that penalty shot. You know, I know Sam and Joe were lauding how great DP was, but he really basically shot it into him.
Yeah, he didn't make a – I mean, what was the first thing you thought when – and I'm kind of trying to wait until we get in the Islander game, but since you brought it up, what was the first thing your instant thought when he missed that penalty shot? What was your first reaction?
Let's see. I don't know. Ask the question again.
What was your instant reaction when Gabrick missed that penalty shot?
Was like, I'm glad he didn't. It would have been if he would have taken the shot against the Flyers, he would have missed anyway.
Exactly. That was the first thing I thought of. Maybe now we know why he wasn't one of the top three shooters in the shootout. That was my instant reaction, but, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, he didn't even make a move on him. He just kind of skated in and, okay, I'll shoot the puck, and kind of shot it right into his, I think right into his gut or whatever. But really quick, somebody emailed me this. What's the difference between the New Jersey Devils and the Chilean government?
What?
The Chileans can afford to bring someone up from the minors. Thank you to our good buddy Chris Smith. That joke came all the way from the UK today. Can you believe that? Taking the ice with and now they're I guess their cap problems are solved at least for the short term because Ralston's out for 4 to 6 weeks. So hello $5 million to the New Jersey Devils. 15 players on the ice.
Luke's having problems with the cap and all kinds of things.
Sweet Lou, all of a sudden the luster's off. With,
I mean, what is it with these Mickey Mouse organizations all around us, and we still can't succeed? I don't know.
I just think it's funny. Whatever, like. You know, you see the Islanders, what they go through with the arena and the whole Motor Lodge comment and everybody getting hurt. They're going to China and they're not going to China and they don't play any preseason games. Then you got the Devils with the Kovalchuk thing and now they're 15 players on the ice because they got no cap room and blah blah. And all of a sudden, how strange is it when all of a sudden the Rangers look like the sane ones in the metro area?
Yeah, they're prudent financially.
You know, all of a sudden we're the smart ones. I mean, what the hell? It won't last, but, you know.
Yeah. It's getting pretty bad.
Just a strange turn of events there with those Devils. I don't know. No, the Devils have a savior now, Adam Mayer. That's from Mandar.
Well, Well, now what are the are we getting reports the Devils are losing again?
I don't know. Did I didn't see that. I'll have to pull up the scoreboard. But Rock just checked in with Colt Norris scored his first goal for the scored a goal for the Leafs tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
I always listen, I'm still love Colton Orr. I'm still a fan of Colton's, even though he was, unceremoniously thrown out of here by Tortorella, or at least we think. We don't exactly know. But listen, we got the boogeyman. Let's get into it. The boogeyman's playing good. Shots on goal, hitting people. All right, granted there's no carnage yet. But, I think he's, he looks serviceable. Although he did sit out some of that third period, but I think that was mainly because the Rangers were protecting a lead, and I don't know what their thinking was with that. But, I thought he's looked serviceable out there. So,
Yeah, he almost put one away against the Islanders. He had a pretty good scoring opportunity. Not that I don't know if you did you go home and watch the game on TV and relive it? Or, okay.
Yeah, I tortured myself because we had a big get together too. I want to talk about this. A lot of the people in the chat room and Mike Zippo and Claude and Eva and John Newman and Costa and Paul. I'm probably going to leave somebody out there. City Hockey Fever. Paul was there. Just a tremendous turnout and a tailgate party, and I couldn't believe it. I drove up, and they were like, "Hey, Mouth!" And then, I wasn't even out of the driver's seat yet, and they were giving me a hot dog and beer. I'm like, I'm literally drinking and driving.
you're like Norm. As soon as you show up, they have it ready for you, and it's in your contract.
It's in my contract. Look,
if they want you to show up, they got to be ready for you.
I got to tell you.
You have certain demands.
I am certainly not the star of the show of that crazy crowd because those guys are Looney Tunes. And in a good way. They had a bag of fish sticks out there. They had a ceremonial puck drop. It was great. And I tell you, the fans are awesome. These Ranger fans and all Ranger fans are awesome. And we dominated. There was no Islander tailgate party. The place, first of all, wasn't even a sellout, which is a joke. And predominantly, it was like half Ranger fans, maybe a little bit more.
Was that their home opener?
No.
Okay.
Wasn't their home opener, but it's Columbus Day. They schedule this game, and I forgot who it was, but somebody made a great point with me. I think on the chat room last week, and I saw him at the game. I forget the guy's name. I met a lot of people that day. Well, anyway, he's just like, this makes no sense that they schedule it against the Rangers because this should be really a day where they should focus on showcasing their team against, having all Islander fans come out. And what happened was Ranger fans bought the tickets. So, if it wasn't for the Ranger fans, they would have like 2,500 there, 3,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's straight. And I know the Islanders like to do, at least this is what I heard, is that they like to do these afternoon games on the holidays because they try and get the kids out. But I mean, I didn't even hear. Every time and I don't know if it was different in New York, but the only feed that the feed that I wound up recording was the Islander feed. I don't know if there was a Ranger feed as well for this game, or was it just the Islander feed?
I saw the Ranger feed later. I don't know if it was
okay
live, but
either I recorded the wrong feed or it wasn't available on Center Ice because I got the Islander feed. Now, every time, like in between periods or just during commercials, they come back from commercial and they show scenes on the concourse, the Coliseum, people walking back. They do that thing, when you watch the games, and they show like the fans just moving back and forth in the concession stands. I didn't see anybody in Islander jerseys. Everybody was in Ranger jerseys. Look at Panin when they showed crowd shots. I don't see anybody in Islander jerseys. And then Butch, that's another thing. Speaking of Islander jerseys, Butch Goring goes on this long, nostalgic trip down memory lane about how happy he is that they brought back those jerseys. The ugliest jerseys. You talk about those Buffalo jerseys. Those Islander jerseys are ugly. They were ugly 30 years ago when Trottier was wearing them and panhandling in them. They're ugly now. It's an ugly blue with an orange stripe and that thing. I know it's Long Island on the jersey, but it looks like a turd on TV. I mean, they're ugly. They were always ugly. And they're just one of those teams that have always had bad jerseys, no matter what they come up with. The fish stick guy, that's ugly. And I'm not just saying that because I hate the Islanders, because there were teams that I hate, but I can appreciate. I happen to like the Jets when they brought back their jerseys from the 60s. I like those jerseys. I just don't like the guys that are in them. But I can appreciate a jersey or a uniform even if I don't like the team. But those Islander jerseys are ugly, and they've always had ugly jerseys. And Butch go, oh, I'm so glad to see them back. And this
well,
is
you
Islander.
Know why
you
got to say that.
Yeah, I know, but still.
The guy got fired for not being rah-rah. Billy Jaffe there.
Fire Island. Eva said it's Fantasy Island. It's Fire Island.
And, you're right. Ranger fans were in a uniform. John Newman's wearing a hard hat. And I had the film, and I'll get to that later. I lost my camera. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. We definitely got to talk about that.
You know, that's like losing a relative for me.
But we'll get to that just a minute. But
I just want to also mention, you want to talk about psychotic friends, fans. Zach was there, and he had seen the Buffalo game up in Buffalo, and he's there at the island in Hempstead. His voice is about as raw as yours was yesterday. He was there, and Ranger fans, I have a theory. I think Islander fans are afraid of Ranger fans. That's why they didn't show. Because they know Ranger fans are crazy. We are a crazy bunch, and in practice, fans were chanting Henrik. They were just Ranger fans are just nuts. All right, so I'm done with that.
I kind of lost my train of thought there for a second, but it was kind of funny. I was thinking about it, and I was in Houston for the Giants game, and then watching you with the knowing that you were out at the Islander game, and it's kind of funny to just compare the differences in going to enemy territory, because that's not even like going to enemy territory, because you were completely surrounded by Ranger fans as far as I could see on the TV, and just watching the, like I said, the intermission and seeing the crowd shots, whereas my experience was a little different this weekend.
Yeah.
I'll just tell this story really fast, okay, because I know we do have some Giant fans that listen to the show, so I'll, very, very quickly. We get into the stadium about 45 minutes before the game. We get up to our seats. And that Texan Stadium, Reliant Stadium, it's called, it is a beautiful, beautiful stadium. I mean, it's a great place to watch a football game. Even with the roof closed, and I'm not usually a big proponent of indoor football, but thank God for it in Houston, because it was about 88 degrees and humid. But when you get inside of it, and that's the difference between that and the stadium here in Phoenix, is that even when the stadium here in Phoenix with the roof closed, it doesn't look like a football stadium when you're inside it. But that Reliant Stadium, when you're inside it, even with the roof closed, it just looks and feels like a football stadium. It's a really, really nice place. Get upstairs to our seats in the end zone. We're upstairs. And there was the Giant fans were kind of scattered in that section. There was a few here and a few there. And, we come in and we're talking to them for a few minutes. And then we sit down and Texans fans are all around us. And they're talking to us. And they thought, and there's really no other way to put it, they thought we were cute, Oh, here come the Giant fans. They come from New York. They come from here. Oh, it's cute. They're here to see our 3-1 Texans. We're doing so good. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're finally turning a corner. Hey, these guys are here. We'll just beat them. And they're, just another team on our way to our dynasty, right? And the game starts, and the Giants didn't get their first drive didn't go very well. I think the Giants lost like 6 yards on their first drive, and it's, you know, these cute Giants, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, it's 14-0 Giants, and all of a sudden, we're not so cute anymore. It's go back to Jersey, you guys are a bunch of fags, and you're this, and you're that, and I'm wearing my Lawrence Taylor jersey, and all of a sudden, we're going down his rap sheet like I don't know it. Oh, he's crack, and the coke, and the whores, and the this, and the that. Oh, he likes underage women. I said, who doesn't? You know, and it's going on. I go back to New York. You guys effing suck. You're effing this. You're effing that. And I got pictures of this one guy who was riding our ass the entire game. I mean, the Texans are getting Giants were up by 3 touchdowns, and this guy's yelling at us, Eli sucks, you guys suck, you're going to get beat, you're going to get your ass kicked. I got a picture of him with about 4 minutes to go in the game where he's sitting there looking like he lost his best friend. He wouldn't say anything to us. Then he got up to leave with 2 minutes to go, and then it was Jimmy's turn. Then it was my turn. I stood up, right? He's got his Matt Schaub jersey on, and I'm screaming at him, where are you going? Where are you going? You're going to miss your team. Come back and kick our ass. Where are you going? He wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't even. He had nothing to say as he walked out. I berated that man until I couldn't see him anymore, and I didn't care. Because you know what? I sat there the whole game. I kept my mouth shut. I said, okay, you have your fun. It's your stadium. It's your house. Whatever, the whole thing. I was respectful. I was, you know, whatever. But the minute he got up to leave, Norton. Here I come. Like I said, then it was Jimmy's turn. And then I pull a video camera out, which I wasn't supposed to have in the stadium, but I start shooting video. Look, because the place was empty. There was nothing but Giant fans left. Even the Giant players said, you know, it was great at the end of the game when all their fans were gone and there was nothing left but Giant fans. But anyway, that's my story.
Yeah, so, wild man. I mean, I got the name, but you play the game, man. You really, yeah, I see you in action. You crazy. You're so crazy.
For lack of a better term, to coin a phrase, I do let my mouth run over. But you know what? I really was. You know, I was very respectful because we were seriously outnumbered. It wasn't like going to a Cardinal game where half the people that are there cheering for the Cardinals are Cowboy and Raider fans 90% of the rest of the time, and then you got, you know, a good 30-40% are Giant fans. It wasn't like that. You know, we were severely outnumbered. So I was really respectful, but this guy was just a little too much, and then when he got up to leave, like I said, that was it. It was on. So now, all right, get back to the Islander game, because if I remember correctly, this is a hockey show. So you guys had the tailgate, you had the whole thing, you got the beer and the hot dogs, you haven't set of rice, you haven't drop ceremonial drops of the puck, you're there with the whole gang, and then the game.
The Bouchard bastards, the bastards, whatever you want to call them, they were out in full force.
How many were in your group there? You guys had a look like. I mean, I saw some of the videos, some of the pictures look like you had a nice
20, I guess.
We were well represented.
There were some chicks that weren't like dressed for the occasion, and I don't know if they were with the guys or they were just like hanging out there. I didn't really get that vibe. But Mike Zippo had a sign on his car that said "Sluts welcome." No, seriously.
Now Zach is saying in the chat room that those ladies were with Mike Zippo. So does he travel with like an entourage? Does he have like is a harem that travels with Zippo? Well, he's got it going on.
Apparently. You know, when you're in college, is he in college or something? I don't know.
I think he's a college guy.
He had the whole beer pong thing going, and some people from another get-together came over and said hello to me, and it was great. Ranger fans are awesome. Then we got to get treated to that freaking horror show at the mausoleum again. It's a no-win situation when you play at that place for us. Because we beat them, it's expected.
Right, yeah, I've said that 100 times.
Yeah, and you called it, my friend. The minute that P.A. Parenteau was signed by the Islanders, you knew he was going to score.
Oh, and can't tell you how many times I heard Butch Goring say, oh, how bad would he like to score a goal? And I'm like, he ain't going to score a goal. He's terrible. We ain't going to a shootout. Come on. Then he scores the goal, and I couldn't tell from the TV who scored the goal. It was kind of like a cluster in front of the net. The puck gets scooped in, and I see that he's on the ice, and I'm like, anybody but him. anybody but him. And then the camera stays on him skating away, and I'm like, you've got to be effing kidding me. Of all people, it's got to be
him. Well, it's always the same clowns. That Blake Como, he's made a career out of beating the Rangers. I think half his career points are against the Rangers. Josh Bailey, oh, my God. The fact he was beating Michael Delzato one-on-one, I really wanted to jump out of my seat and strangle Michael, and I'm his biggest fan, practically. The fact, and City Hockey, he's bringing it up. I mean, no strike, Okposo, no Tavares, DiPietro versus Henrik. DiPietro never really does well. He's under 500 against us. They had the game. They had the game. They played a great like second half of the game. They played a good 20 minutes from the 10-minute mark on, from the left in the second to 10 minutes, you know, like 6 minutes left. They played really well. They took advantage of some Islander buffoon moves. The Islanders got caught with too many men on the ice. Rangers score on the power play. Good sign, right? We want the Rangers to take the Islanders throw the puck into the crowd in their own zone. There's a penalty for that. Rangers score on that. Everything's working well. I like the way the forwards are forechecking. It's just what happened was both teams, and Micheletti and Rosen actually got this right, which was, you know, very rare for them. Both teams were really heavily forechecking. And and there was a lot of coughing up of the puck, but I couldn't believe our defense were predominantly coughing up the puck. I mean, I got to deal with Wisniewski and Martinek. I'm like, who are these guys? I don't understand Wisniewski's supposed to be talented. Hey, I want to also get to that thing, the fact that that assistant captain, he's a real character guy, let me tell you something, with that shenanigans he pulls up. That, you know, fans do that. It's funny when fans do that, but when you're a professional player and you do that obscene gesture, you look like a fool. You look like a fool. You look like a moron. Even if a Ranger would have done that, I would have been against it because it's just stupid. Can you imagine if somebody did that in football? Say you score a touchdown on the opposing team, you're in the end zone, and you do that to a fan or another player. Or if that happened in baseball, that guy would be out for 15, 20 games in baseball. You cannot do that. It's totally Bush League.
Well,
and the fact is, I have it on video on Ranger Crisis. You can look at it. The referee, Gord Dwyer, you can put him on the new list of anti-bias, Sean Avery bias referees. He saw it. He saw it. He put his head down. He mumbled something to Wisniewski, that chucklehead. And there was no penalty on the ice. I'm not saying you got to give the Rangers a power play. Where's the 10-minute misconduct? Where's anything? No. And so like Sean Avery said, if that was him, what would they have done? You know what would have happened. He would have got a 10-minute misconduct. He probably got a gross misconduct. He probably would have gotten every misconduct they have in a book. It was nonsense. And that guy should have gotten more than two games. It just shows you the quality that that's an assistant captain that does that. That's a character guy, Jim.
Well, yeah, I mean, the two-game suspension, you know, and I said this to you before we went on the air, what would the suspension have been had he done that to Sidney Crosby? What would it have been? Would it have been any different, do you think? Would it have been any different if he did it to Ovechkin?
Oh, you better believe it. Everybody knows that. It would have been 15 games if they would have done it to Cindy or to Rushdie. You know,
it's a bunch of garbage.
That's right, Paulie. That's right, Paulie. You're absolutely right, Paulie. All right. So yeah, Wisniewski was suspended for two games. The Rangers lost. They blew the lead late. But for you, I don't think that was the most devastating thing that happened that day, was it?
Well, you know, I'm always filming, and I've had this camera for about a year or so. And, you know, I do all my Ranger Crisis. I've had it all around the country. When I mean all around the country, I mean like almost every state. And I never lose it. I think that dump, that black hole swallowed it up, the mausoleum, because of all the fun I've been poking at it, it finally got its revenge on me. Well, good riddance. I don't want that thing anymore. But
now,
it had to,
what if you got it back now? Is it tainted now? I mean, you know. What I mean, what if somebody found it and maybe they're listening to the show tonight? Because we do know the Islander fans listen to the show as well, because and they watch your videos.
I don't want it back from an Islander fan. It's already been tainted by an Islander fan. You probably deleted all the anti-Islander stuff I was shooting before the game. And all of us making fun of the Islanders in the tailgate. You know, I was attached to the camera. I'm over it. I moved on.
You don't sound bitter about it at all.
No.
All right. Well, if anyone's listening and they know and they happen to know where that camera might be, and are we offering a reward? Or maybe we give them a.
I don't want it back. If it's been touched by an Islander fan, I don't want it back.
All right. Well,
Brian Strache probably hocked it.
All right. Well, we'll mourn the loss of Eddie's camera, and in the meantime, how about we want to take a phone call?
Yeah, no big whoop. Let's take a phone call.
All right. Let's go to the 718 area code, 718-645. You're on Blue Shirt Panda Radio. First up tonight, who are you?
Hello?
718-645. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, it's Rocky, man. What's up?
Hey, Rocky. How you doing?
I'm actually doing great. This is actually my first time calling you guys.
First time, long time, as they say on WFAN. Except
except
nobody calls up, says first time, long time, and then talks about hockey because Francesco will cut him off. So what's going on, Rocky? Welcome to the show. We hope you're enjoying it. What's on your mind,
Rocky?
Well, beyond the game is on my mind, and I agree with you. If AV did what that guy did, yeah, they would even suspend. They would just get rid of him. They'll say you're out of hockey, out of here. That's why
I think they would have thrown him out of the game.
No, I don't think out of the game, because I think all these refs have it in for Avery, every last one of them.
Rocky, you're right. You know, and my beef is this, okay? Is Avery a dirty player? No.
He used to be, but not anymore.
I don't see him headshotting people.
I think he cleaned up since he joined the Rangers. I think that's what I think happened.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think he has tamed his game. All he does, and we all know what he says, he's vulgar, he's disgusting, he gets under their skin with trash talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And
he's dirty. I think he's chippy. And I think there's a difference.
Well, there's another end why they don't like him. It's because he won't drop the gloves. These guys... You know, whether it's David Clarkson, they're ragdolling him, and he will not drop the gloves. And it annoys them. But my problem is, why are the referees an extension of the players? The players are upset with them, the opposing players. Why do they have to be like, well, you know, it's not very honorable what Sean is doing, so we're going. They're supposed to be unbiased judges of what's a penalty or not. Not to make moral decisions on what is honorable in the game. It's ridiculous. The guy has like four penalties a game that should be called on, that he should get, that he doesn't get, because he's Sean A. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you. What's the
solution? There is none. You've got to grin and bear it. They're never going to come around.
And didn't Tortorella tell him not to drop the gloves as much? Just, you know, just take it and leave it? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. You know, maybe they are telling him don't drop the gloves. I mean, that's his job, is to get people off the ice. I mean, you know, is it honorable? I mean, it's honorable if you want to win the game. I mean, do anything to win. And let's face it, the Rangers, you know, we're in a position where we got to do anything to win. So, I mean,
you're telling me
he plays for you. I mean, he plays for you. We love him. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd probably want his head if he was playing against us. But he's not. But the referee's got to stop with this crucifixion.
Stop getting off it. Stop stepping on his back, right?
Yeah. I mean, the guy, you know, we know how he's going to play. I mean,
of course.
So what else bugged you about that Islander game besides the obvious? Their
defense just completely died in that third period. That's all I got to say. It just died. How many goals did he score? Four, and then they just completely died. What the hell did? It's either their defense died or Henrik fell asleep. I think that's what happened.
A lot of people, you know, you bring up Henrik. A lot of people brought up the fact that could Henrik still be hurt? You know, he did make some key saves. I don't think anybody was saying he was responsible for the loss, but when Henrik's given up, you know, an average of 4 goals after, you know, 2 games, it's a little worrisome. But, you know, like you said, that defense looked like they was, you know, struck by tasers in their own zone in that third period. And again, they didn't play a good third period in the Buffalo game. I know they were ahead, but that may be something we should watch, the third periods.
Exactly.
So, I mean, so who was your main goat on defense? Everybody seems to have picked a guy. Who was the guy you thought really was lackluster in that?
I really don't even know anymore. I think the entire D line should just, you know, shape up now. The offense line, yeah, they've improved. Glad about that, but the D line really needs work.
Yeah, for sure. And now it may be just a matter of gelling and playing some games. I don't know what they plan on.
Look on the bright side. Look on the bright side. Freaking, what the hell is the guy named? Oh, my God. I forgot his name now. Who did all the Rangers get rid of? I completely forgot his name now.
Redden?
Yeah, Redden. That's how bad he was. I forgot him already.
Well, I wish I could forget him.
Yeah. Seeing that Mary Lou Redden in my dreams.
Well, that's one positive thing. They got rid of Redden, finally. I think they actually listened to you guys. Hey, get rid of Redden. They got rid of Redden.
Yeah.
Everybody listens to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
they listened to you guys more, the Rangers would have been playing much better than last season.
I like Rocky.
He's
my favorite caller now.
He's moving up the list of favorites callers, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like number
2.
Well,
thank you, bud. Well, thank you guys for saying that.
Yeah, well, listen, you keep dealing out the compliments like that, you'll be number 1 with a bullet, as they say.
Number 1 with a bullet.
Yeah, as they say.
Right now, somewhere, John Newman is screaming at his phone.
Who would want to pull a bullet in me? Who would want to pull a bullet in me? I'm very likable.
No, I mean, they used to say that me. Like the Billboard Top 100, they were like debuting at number 1 with a bullet is Flavor Flav's. I don't know. Like Flavor Flav had a number 1 hit. Well, I mean, what am I talking about here?
What the hell did he have one number 1 hit?
I know.
Anyway.
So that's where I am. I think the Rangers defense really needs to gel, and you know we go through them. I already see people want the Eminger seems to be the whipping boy right now.
Yeah, he's off to he's fast tracking his way to the whipping boy. That's for sure.
So Rock, I appreciate you calling. I want to hear from you again.
No problem, man. I'll be sure to call again.
All right, Rocky, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, catch you later, guys.
All right, take it easy.
See ya.
And now I just want to speak to the defense for a second here.
Sure.
I want to go through what I think. I'm not happy with the pairings. I don't know why, you know, maybe it makes sense. I don't know, but I don't like – why couldn't we just keep it the way it was? Just put Girardi with Staal, Roosevelt with Delzato, and let Eminger and Sauer play whatever they're going to do. Sauer's looked – he hasn't looked bad, and he hasn't looked great, which is fine. As long as he's steady, that's okay. Eminger, to me, I don't get it. They could do much better than him. I'm not saying he's looked horrible. He hasn't looked good.
He doesn't seem to me, just from what I saw, he doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't seem to know when to join the rush yet. And hopefully that'll come in time, but I'm still trying to figure out why he's on the roster.
The Rangers also, again, they don't have that veteran defenseman to kind of bring these guys along. They really should go out and get a real veteran defenseman. Eminger is like – actually, Roosevelt is probably the oldest, I think. They need to go out and get somebody. Or how about this? We get a second coach that just takes care of the defense. Can't we get Jim Schoenfeld to, you know, was he the GM of the Wolfpack or whatever, the Whale or whatever. Can't we just get him on the big club and teach these guys how to play defense in their own zone? I mean, come on.
I thought that's what he does. I thought he works with the defense.
I'm always mystified. I never put him on the bench during games. I don't care about practice. Put him on the bench. Games are when it counts. I don't care. You can practice all you want. I want him in people's ears on the bench. Let's get it together, Torts.
Well, you talk about getting a veteran guy to work with the young players. Like Paul Mara? There we go. Slowly I turned.
No, I'm not falling for Paul Mara.
I just had to drop that one on you.
Is he out of hockey yet or what?
I don't know. I don't think so. All right, you ready to take another call?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we're going to go to the 631 area code.
Yeah, he don't come here no more. He don't come here no more.
Who's this?
Uh-oh.
Who's 6314? Who's this?
No, come here no more. Who's this?
You're on Blue Shirt Band of Radio. This is
Shanghai Charlie Wang.
Uh-oh.
This is Shanghai Charlie Wang, number one son, Little Wang. No, not Little Wayne. Little Wang. Lil Wayne signed Big Mouth Camera. Very bad, very bad. You want Ranger Crisis? I give you Ranger Crisis.
Wait a minute. Let's slow down a little bit here. This is Charles Wang, the owner of the Islanders.
It's Chuckles.
It's Chuckles, as he's known in his inner circle. Are you saying that your son, number one son, found...
Number one son, Lil Wang.
Found
he signed Camera. He tried to perform for Lighthouse Project. No work.
Listen, he's playing with the camera now.
No more bullshit banter, bullshit misfits, no more here, no more. Mr. Bedman was visiting here. He bet me with Rangers.
Listen.
He had Polish Wazinski and Avery. Ha ha, only two games off.
Listen, you crazy Chinaman. I want my camera back.
You don't get it back. I tried to point for Lighthouse. Don't work.
What, you using the flash for the
Lighthouse?
No more
tailgating party for you. No more. That's it. Long Islanders win anyway. Islanders are referee 6, Rangers 4. Ha ha ha.
I mean, tell you something, Wang.
No, Miles, no, you don't tell me nothing.
Here.
I tell you, I'm billionaire. Hey, Hama, how are you?
All right.
Meanwhile, Little Wang is clicking away there, taking all.
You whacking fish stick in my parking lot? Or you only whack Little Wang, no fish stick?
So, are we going to see an Islanders Crisis website with videos now? Is that what you're saying?
It's going to be all over.
Will you take that? So are you saying that there's no way Eddie's getting this camera back?
Only he can find DP's hips.
Let me tell you something.
Only way to get camera back, find DP hip now. Not hip hop now, find hip now.
Hip sing?
He's clicking away there.
I'm going to tell you something, Wang. It's my time to talk, Wanger. Guess what? I'm going to kidnap your son. And he's going to wind up like the Lindbergh baby, you know, if you know what I mean there.
You hold him for ransom. At least five buckets of jail child chicken.
What was that?
I don't know, jail child chicken?
All right, I had enough of this, Wang. I want my camera back.
All right, you never get it back now. It is in porn stars.
Well, wait,
I mean porn stop. I mean porn star.
So are you saying it's too late to negotiate a deal? We can't broker a deal here? There's no the camera's gone? You've sold it?
No, nothing for you, Dirty Rangers. You make fun of Ice Girl. You call them Ice Whores, Ice Pigs. That's no good.
Who said that about your lovely Ice Girls?
Some big man look like Buddha, the Greek. I don't know.
Buddha the Greek? All right, well, I'm telling you something. I'm telling you something, Wang. You know what's going to happen? You just better watch out at the Computer Associates. You just better watch out. It doesn't wind up in flames. I want that camera back. You got that, Slope?
He said, oh, come on.
Oh, right, now you're hitting the bell.
All right. Well, listen, that camera means a lot to me. I'm sorry if I offended our Asian fan, which I think we have zero, so I didn't offend anybody.
Why?
Stop with that camera, guys. Stop taunting me, Wang.
Oh, Lil Wang, I'm going to put Lil Wang to bed now. I got to go.
Mr. White, the cupcakes are done.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. White. We appreciate you. Appreciate you calling in. Oh, man. That was. He's got your camera. Your camera's been found. Jeez. All right, you ready to take another call?
Yeah.
All right.
Dirty Ranger fan.
201-788, you're on Blue Shirt Panda Radio. Who's this? Hello? 201-788, you're on Blue Shirt Panda Radio.
This is Robbie. What's going on?
Robbie, what's going on, buddy? Tough act to follow, Robbie.
What?
Tough act to follow.
Yeah, I know. Charles Wong. Ooh, yeah, he's not as bad as Dolan now.
He's not as bad as Dolan?
Yeah, Dolan is the worst. Dolan is the absolute worst.
Would you stop with that camera thing?
Why do you say
yes,
that?
Yes, I do. The camera.
You think Dolan's worse than Wang?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yes,
man.
I do. I'm not kidding. Yeah, that's close. But,
now, Robbie, have you been watching the games? Are you still watching the damn baseball?
Well, I've been watching both. But I've been watching right now. I'm watching the. I don't want to say because then you guys will flip that on me. But yeah, I am watching the Rangers.
Now, did you see the Islander game?
I was in school, but we don't get off for Columbus Day. But I got home to watch it. It was tied 3-3. I went on during my study skills class. I checked the score and I saw that they were down 2-1. So that made it 7. Then they blew it. Ugh, I hate the Islanders. But with them, yeah, those jerseys are really, really, really hideous. They are. I don't know why they went back to them. They're ridiculous.
I agree. They've always had the ugliest jerseys in the league, always.
The only orange and blue team on Long Island is the New York Mets. There we go, because a lot of the fan base is on there. That's it.
There you have it.
There you go. And the Jets. Well, yeah, speaking of the Jets, I think it's a good time to say we're in first place, baby, and we got revenge on the old man who cost us the season 2 years ago. So that's good for them.
Congratulations. It was a good game.
There you go. Yes, it was. Yes, and I saw what was I going to say about the Giants? What was the final score? I saw the Giants were killing them, but what ended up being the final score?
34-10.
34-10? Oh,
yeah.
Good.
All right, do you have anything Ranger-related?
What was I going to say? I like that with the Ranger. Well, not really Ranger. Yeah, Ranger-related. I think you brought up a really good point about having that guy for the fish for the Islanders would have had he done obscene gestures to Crosby or Ovechkin, he would have got a 20 game suspension because the league just can't stand. What's that?
Nothing. We're just listening.
All right, but I find that Avery would have been, if he would have done that, whatever, I can't pronounce his name, but if he would have, had he done that to Crosby or Ovechkin, he definitely would have been suspended for more games.
Ah. Sure.
What's
Crosby
that?
Does, if that happens to Crosby, not that we're having some technical problems. Crosby, he would have been gone, you have to forget about it. Again, everything is with Avery.
What's so funny? What's so funny?
About Avery.
We're just having some fun tonight. That's all, Robbie.
Yeah, go on, Eddie, sir.
It's a lighthearted show. It's not serious.
Yeah.
We take this too seriously. We might as well be talking about
after that, it killed me to see them to lose to the Islanders. But it's game two. They're not going to go crazy. It's like I said to the Islander fan as I left. You know, they were all gloating in their win. And then, you know, of course, man, if I'm a loudmouth and I'm wrong and I take it, you know, I smile, you know, and I was like, listen. I told an Islander fan, I was like, oh, you rich suck. I was like, settle down, Chuckles. It's game two.
You know what, the Islanders, oh yeah, the Knicks will win 56-51. I forgot about that game. Sorry, I got the
sorry, Robbie.
No, I'm kidding. But,
you know you are banned from talking about basketball on this show. You better say something hockey really quick.
Yeah, you're really on the range. The reason why the Islanders get like so pumped up with the fans is because that's their Stanley Cup.
You sound like Muttley.
What?
No, Jim sounded like Muttley from Definitely Muttley there when he laughed.
But the reason why the Islanders usually get, like, pumped up with the Rangers is because that's, like, their game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals. They get no attention whatsoever. That's, like, their big game because they're not making the playoffs. They have nothing to play for. So that's, like, that's what they look forward to and mark on their calendar. So that's why they were so, like, pumped up the Tony Eddie because you're the mouth too.
Because they got nothing out there, Robbie, except cupcakes and camera thieves. Nothing.
Exactly. Eddie, how did you lose your camera?
Well, you heard it. Charles Wang had little Wang come by and steal it. No, I had it next to my seat, and I met up with some people between periods. I came back, and I had it under the seat next to a friend. Now, I don't know if that my friend stole it, but I came back and it wasn't there, and it was like really weird.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, I was like the thieves, but what was I gonna say? My girlfriend, or like my ex girlfriend rather, we broke up. I don't want to say it on the air, but anyway, before we were together, I did get her into the Rangers a little bit, but she thinks that Lundqvist and Gabbert are like real hotties and stuff and whatever. And she actually, she told me that she did watch some of the Sabres game, but she said she's actually really starting to get into the Rangers now, big time. So is there any chances that I screwed up her life a little bit by getting her into this team, or what do you guys think?
No. I think you would have screwed up her life if you would have stayed with her. I think, actually, you were screwed. Oh, what went wrong in this little relationship?
You're listening to The Love Lines with Dr. Eddie and Dr. Jim.
I thought this was the hockey. But I actually, speaking of
what
that,
happened?
I was actually...
You weren't giving it a Peugeot? What was happening?
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything on the air. But
regularity.
I did talk. I did talk to Newman about that, and he said that. You know, she,
I love that. Never, Robbie. Never.
Oh my God.
How are you, Robbie? Never take any love. Advice from John Newman.
No, he's got to go. He's got to go. Right? What's her name? Stacy something? Is that correct?
Stacy Katz. We love Stacy Katz because she keeps Newman. She keeps him occupied.
Yeah, but he did tell me, you know, that don't worry about it. You'll get a new girl. He's good for advice, right?
Oh yeah. He's great. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
All right, Robbie. Listen, we got to run.
All right, I appreciate it. Don't worry. It's only one game,
right.
And we'll win on Friday night. Let's go Rangers, baby. Woo! See you later.
There you go.
All right. See you later. All right. Take care. Man, it's one of those nights tonight, let me tell you.
Anyway, Zach, what's going on, buddy?
Getting love advice from John Newman is like saying Wade Redden is the best first passer in the league. It just doesn't make sense.
What's going on?
Oh, it's a crazy show today.
One of our best, I think.
Well, the chat room wants us to get back.
It keeps getting better and better.
So, Zach, what was your
summation? My voice is still shot. One hell of a weekend, let me tell you.
Well, Zach,
nice
why don't you...
What?
why don't you give us your summation of the two games you saw? You were live there, live for both of them.
Live on the Buffalo scene for both, and it feels like I'm still there. Let me tell you, the crowd in Buffalo is amazing. I'm with my brother. I'm with Mike. I'm with his buddy Alex. We get on the tram to go from his hotel to the HSBC Arena, filled with Sabre fans. And they see us four Ranger fans coming in. One guy says, uh-oh, here we go. So we were just chatting with him, and, you know, he's a fun guy. But all Sabre fans there are incredible. And we heard a girl on our tram scream out, "Let's go, Rangers." We didn't recognize her. She wasn't wearing a jersey or anything. But we learned later that was Derek Stepan's mom.
Well, yeah.
If we had known, we would have chilled with her.
Yeah.
Haven't I heard this story before?
If you were on Paul D show last night, I said that.
So what? You go to his show to try out your material, and then you.
Hold up. First off, I was saying that at Monday's game. I told Eddie. I told Eva. Whoever else was there. I told them that.
But you go on his show, like, what are you, like Jay Leno? You go to the improv, you try out your material, and bring it here, like, you know.
I think it's worse than that, Jim.
I don't want to steal
it. It's like he goes on Letterman, and then he comes on, like, the Craig Ferguson show he treats us like we're the second banana here.
Yeah, you know.
I couldn't wait till tonight to tell the news.
First he goes on Letterman, and then he comes to us like George Lopez.
All right.
Hey, you know I listen to your show more than anybody else.
All right. That's because you got all your cougars following you. Anyway, so Zach, what's going on? Give us your summation of the game. I don't care who was there. I saw it.
All right. Everybody is concerned about the defense. Let me tell you something. I noticed some similarities and differences in both games. One difference is the defensive pairing. Because in Buffalo, the pairing was Delzato and Girardi, Roosevelt and Stahl, and then you have Emminger with Sauer. And Monday, the pairing changed, because I saw Delzato with Roosevelt more and Stahl Girardi together, and, you know, Sauer and Emminger together. And let me tell you, Delzato is not on top of his game. I don't know what it is, but, you know, he did not make these mistakes last year, and this is a growing concern now. Roosevelt. He has the puck. He doesn't shoot it. All he does is either pass it or give it up, and then there's an odd man rush with Delzato up back. The defense is crap. And Jim, maybe you'll agree with me on this. Everybody else is going to disagree, but I want to see Gilroy play Friday night. I don't care who he replaces. I want to see him play Friday night.
Well, I like Matt Gilroy, but I don't think we're going to see him Friday night. I think if you were going to see him Friday night, they would have called him up already. But that's just me.
What do you mean call him up? He's still with the team. He wasn't sit down at Hartford.
Oh, you're right. What the hell am I thinking? Ah, whatever.
You're thinking of Wade Redden.
Yeah, I must be. I don't know why I thought they sent him down.
They probably won't see him play on Friday, but I want to see him in as soon as possible because. You know, there's something wrong with the defense. There's always something wrong with the defense, but this is worse than I've ever seen before.
Well, it's so early. Let's not get crazy. It's still early.
Like I said before, Emminger probably just needs to get a little more comfortable with when to join the rush and when not. Look, you know, it was the same thing last year with Mark Stahl, you know, early in the season. So
Emminger needs to learn how to not take bad penalties. Because there were two in that game in Buffalo, and I saw the replay. They were bad calls on his part. So Emminger needs to learn how to play smart defensive playing.
Well, give him some time.
Yeah,
gotta give him more than two games.
We're Ranger fans. We've run out of time years ago.
we got plenty. We got nothing but time. All right, so the trip was good. You're glad to be back. When's your next appearance at a Ranger game? Are you going Friday night?
Friday. I'm going to the home opener. First, I'm going to go to Cafe 31. Then I'm sitting all the way up at the blue seat. A friend of mine has season tickets, and so she's selling me one of them. So I'm really looking forward to that.
The blue seats are coming back. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I did hear that.
The actual blue seats are coming back.
I heard that. While I have you on the phone, I asked this question to a lot of people, and I'm getting different responses, and I'm hoping you guys know about this. And this has to do with the Devils, because they only have 15 players, and the salary cap is just pouting on them. What happens if a team goes over the salary cap during the season?
I just don't think you can have a roster that is over the salary cap. I don't know. Players get, they're disqualified from play. I don't know exactly. But they just can't. You can't have a roster.
I've heard a couple of different responses. One response was you get a heavy fine. Another one is, you lose a draft pick, and now I'm hearing tonight that you just simply can't play.
Yeah, Ricky's saying in the chat room that they have to forfeit.
Okay.
So.
Very, very interesting. And it's just, now you look at this, it's like, why would they sign Kovalchuk for that much money?
Because he's got no goals so far.
Yeah, I'm watching the game right now. No goals so far. The one thing I do like about the Rangers this season is, after two games, we scored a total of 10 goals. That I like. The one thing I don't like is not one of them had come from Gaverick.
He had his chances.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, he's had his chances.
I think on the plus side, you look at Brandon Dubinsky, who's on pace to score 125 goals this year, which would make Paulie D a genius, even more so than he already is. All right, Zach.
I think you give him too much credit.
Well, you know what? We have to, because you go on his show first.
That's right. But the same,
so,
and then we
you guys,
get stale
you
stories.
Guys weren't having a show Tuesday night, and I needed to listen to something and chime in, so his show was available. I apologize for offending you two.
We're just kidding. All right, Zach. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
If I have a voice, I'll talk back later.
All right, bye.
Later.
Take care.
All right, let's go to...
Who's Mary Hammerhand?
Who is Mary Hanrahan?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Ricky?
I got some weirdo
Ricky.
Phone number trying to beat through on me here, but...
Obviously multitasking.
Yeah. No, just to get back to that question about the Devils, what I was told by one of the guys in the organization was that the league will take the team and shut it down until they're under the cap. And one of these things going on here is there's a lot of angry people in that locker room about them playing like this. That team's in big trouble.
Well, I heard McLean had a meltdown today.
McLean had a big meltdown, pulled him off the ice.
Game two? Two games in, he's having meltdowns?
Oh, and three. They're three games out already.
Oh, Jesus.
Still not a good sign, a little soon for the meltdown, isn't it? Because then, what happens if they're not playing well after 10 games or 20? You can only have so many meltdowns when they stop being effective,
Absolutely. I mean, too much too soon. You can only scream at a guy so much when they're at this level. Maybe Torts take a lesson.
We got a kinder, gentler Torts this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's still an idiot. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. But, it's frustrating already. I know you're going to say it's two games in, get off the ledge. Mouth, I sat with you at games this year. I told you I was going to be a little bit more patient. But you know what? I'm so sick of the phony Rella shit already. It's already starting. What do you mean? It's not playing lines. It's playing Emmerger over even Gilroy. The guy did nothing. When we went to the game, so everything we said all night long was, this guy's terrible. Oh, my God, this guy's, there's no way he's going to make the team. This guy's horrible. He must have had 7 giveaways in the one period in front of us at the Rock that night. He had a horrible preseason. He's starting over the two kids, which I can understand you want to give the kids time and heart for it. I can completely agree with that. But the guy is not. You were kidding around before, Jimmy. You mentioned Paul Mara. How many guys has this guy run out of town that would have been beneficial to this team? Paul Mara would have been the perfect 7th guy on this team for the last 2 years with defensemen we have coming up. He's a leader. He's scrappy. He's what we're missing. We're not missing an Emmerger. Emmerger's softer than baby crap. He doesn't do anything well. It's not like he's a great first passer. It's not like he clears the front of the net. It's not like he takes the body. The guy's horrible.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea. I agree with you there. I agree with you. I don't understand why he was like almost guaranteed a spot. I mean, he really had a terrible preseason. But again, a Ranger fans will, and I'm not saying you, but in general, will somehow give a lot of slack to a guy like they like Delzato. And I think Michael Delzato has played horribly defensively in the first two games. And as far as Emminger goes, yeah, I don't think he deserves a spot on the team. But I see a lot of culprits in the first two games defensively.
Well, you mentioned Delzato. Delzato made a terrible play of the pass up the middle, absolutely, 100%. But he's a 20-year-old kid. I could look past that. But what bothers me about Torch is just what happened to you're going to earn time. Just for an example, the fourth line in Buffalo absolutely played a good, solid game the couple minutes they played. Then they go out in Long Island in their first shift. Cross throws the puck in the left-hand corner. Bugard runs somebody over, blasts the guy into the boards, kept his arms down, didn't take a penalty, takes the puck, wraps it around the front of the net. They resulted in three strong shots. He doesn't get a shift again the rest of the period. The second period starts. 4 minutes into the period, they get a second shift, which results in a two-on-one with Bugard getting a shot on net and a rebound, and his ass was glued to the bench the rest of the game. No such thing as ice time being rewarded. Now, you want to know something? We were physically manhandled on the island. They got run out of the building for the first 11 minutes and the last 12. They got hit, they got hit, they got hit. Nobody responded back. I thought this team was going to be different. I tell you what, I don't think this team is in shape. Everybody talks about that everybody came in this year and were running and doing exercising and drills. The first two games this year, this team looks exhausted by the middle of the first period. And then they all of a sudden wake up, and then the last two periods in Buffalo, the third period, and on the island, they were completely dominated in both periods. I might have drank the Kool-Aid after the first game already, but
I have to disagree with you. I just think that game just got away on the island. Yeah, the third period, I don't think they got banged around too much. My problem was Gaborik getting hit. Gaborik has taken some hits, and there's been no retribution out there. I really didn't see them physically getting beat up by the Islanders. They just had no answer for the Islanders consistently forechecking. And they got out of the gate extremely slow again. And, you know, I praised Bugard at the beginning of this program. I thought that he was, he got a shot on goal. You're right, Boyle and Prust had the 2-on-1. Unfortunately, it was Boyle and Prust with the 2-on-1, but they got it.
Bugard also had a 2-on-1 with Prust in the Islander game on his second shift, and then he didn't see the ice the rest of the game.
Well,
I like physical hockey. I'm not saying the guy's got to play. I literally think maybe two shifts a period, and I'd be happy with that. But why do you
How much did you expect Bugard to play? The guy is averaging 4 minutes a game, 3 minutes a game his whole career. And they're not going to roll four lines.
I'm not saying to roll four lines, but if the guy's having – there's no reason why, if he's not doing something wrong and the line is generating offense, that they should not play the line.
But you know predominantly Tortorella, just the way he is. Those first three lines, if you really think – and I really think at this point the top three lines are as good as I've seen them right now. Why would I want the fourth line out there? I didn't think they were getting manhandled. I mean,
always a matter of fighting. I'm talking about it's a momentum changer sometimes. Prust hits, Boyle hits, Bugard hits. They had chances the two games in a row. They didn't do anything wrong is what I'm saying. That's what you want out of your fourth line is a little bit of energy, go out, hit. Now, not for nothing, if you really forget about, going off on a Bugard tantrum, somebody's got to say Lundqvist has got to step the hell up, because let me tell you something. The Islander game changed when he gave up that shit third goal with 21 seconds left in the second period, and the scouting report is out. I'll tell you what, 9 out of every 10 shots on net are glove side high on this guy this season. He better step it up, because the two goals he gave up in Buffalo were terrible on slap shots that beat him clean glove slide with no, 50-footers. We cannot afford to have him cost us the season because, like you just said, the first three lines are as good as they've been in the last probably 10 years on this team, and they're going to be in the games. We can't afford to score four goals and lose.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and defend Henrik in the first two games, but it's two games. I'm not
You're
going nuts
Henrik
on Henrik is washed up already. What?
You're yelling Henrik for Vezina on Twitter the other day.
Come on, I was doing that debate you on Twitter. So you get all crazy. I mean, you were going at it with me when I was talking about how Tyler Innes is so good. And then when Stepan got the hat trick, he goes, you still like your boy for called the trophy over there? I mean, we were just going at it. But, come on, I implore you. I implore you to give I know you don't like Henrik when he gives up those soft goals. That's fine. You can stick on that. I'm never going to change your mind on that anyway. But don't give up on Torts. I just would like to see Bugard just start. How come he didn't fight Gillies?
He didn't get a shift with him. Trevor Gillies.
Every time
Trevor
I saw Gillies, he was on the bench yelling at somebody.
Trevor Gillies had one shift right after the in the second period when it started, and they put Bugard on the ice against him. And the Islanders took a too many men on the ice penalty because the idiot Gillies jumped on as the sixth person and they took a penalty. Now, Gillies TKO'd King tonight in Washington, too. He's a good fighter, Gillies. I mean, that's not a joke. And Orr got TKO'd tonight down in Pittsburgh.
Really? By who?
I mean, it's a weird season so far. There's been a lot of fights in hockey so far this year. The NHL is toughening up a little bit.
I will agree with you there, and I'm glad to see it. And I think, just sit tight with Torts. I think he's using the fourth line just the way they should be. And those guys should be rewarded. But what are you going to do? You're going to take Stepan? You're going to cut time to reward Bugard and Prust? They're doing what they're supposed to do. And I like them. I love the lines. Now the injuries and Drury coming back, of course, is going to screw that up. But right now, I really believe that the second line should be the first line. They forecheck. Of course, you're not going to throw Gabrick up the first line again. I got to go back to my two-game thing. But just hang in there. I think I can't say Torts is misusing him. I mean, you got a lead. You're up. I didn't see the game as the Islanders manhandling the Rangers during parts of the game. I saw the Rangers unable to handle a forecheck, but I didn't see any, But I would like to see, and this is one thing I would like to see, if somebody hits Gabrick, there's got to be retribution.
Instantaneously.
Immediately.
That shit. It's got to be made known. It's got to be made known. It's got to be made known early. And how'd you like that tussle between Thrust and Konopka? Oh, that was a long one.
That was a long fight. I like Prust. I said that a lot. And I also said to you guys on the air here, I think Dubinsky's going to score 65 points this year and put up 25 to 28 goals. And he's on pace for it. And that line is fantastic.
Yeah.
Double A has really impressed me, man. He's really impressed me. If that line can consistently put up points like they've done in the first two games, I don't think we're going to make eighth place. I think we have a shot at sixth. Because if we could put two balanced scoring lines out and then throw a third line out with, say, Drury and those guys plugging away, and they could chip in 15 goals apiece, we're going to have no problem making the playoffs unless, Swiss cheese doesn't stop the puck.
Oh, I like seeing Callahan going to the net all the time. He did that. He's done that. He did it a lot against the Islanders. He was in front of the net every time he was on the ice.
That line doesn't quit, man. It doesn't quit. All three of those guys are scrappy, homegrown kids, the homeboy line.
Right. They crash the net. They're around the net. They're, they're looking for the puck around, just the loose pucks. I just like the line. But the Dubinsky's got to hit the net more, though. They'll set him up for a shot, and it's like, forget it. It's like Plexi Rexy all over again. But,
hey, Matthew, you see they moved your boy Glidecheck to center down in Hartford.
Yeah, I guess to give more room to skate around and look good with those strides. Those long, beautiful strides. Listen, don't give up on Evgeny yet.
He's ahead of schedule.
He's ahead of schedule, according to Jim Cerny.
Well, you know what it is, too. Look at AA. 2 years ago, really, the kid had an off year in Hartford. I'm sorry, 3 years ago, he had a terrible year in Hartford. He came up last year. He had a very solid year. And I'll tell you what, this year, the kid looks like he's going to be a keeper. I love him. I tell you what, he might be my favorite Ranger this season.
He's been my favorite Ranger the last two seasons.
How's the cards going? Is his cards worth anything?
They're starting to pick up now. But I think because he's, you know, wasn't a high draft pick, a recent draft pick, his cards debuted last year, but it's okay. Delzato's cards for some reason sell much higher, but which is kind of an oddity because usually forwards cards, hockey cards.
We're at 97% with Hofstadter. We'll have an answer tomorrow morning. He's going to call me tomorrow and confirm if he could be there.
We're up 2%.
He made it sound like he's coming. So
last week it was 97%, 95% rather. Yes, we got to mention that really quick before we let Ricky go. November 26th at the Poynton, still in Hackensack, New Jersey. The blue shirt banner, I can't bear to watch party. We're all going to get together there. We're going to do a live radio show at 5 o'clock and then watch the game at 7:30. The Rangers take on the Panthers. That's November 26th, the day after Thanksgiving. So get out, get your shopping done early, go home, take a nap, and then come out and meet us at the bar. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, Ricky. We're going to take some other calls, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
You got it, guys. Take care.
See ya.
Take care, Rick.
Good night.
All right. My voice is starting to give out.
Ah.
I only had so much in me, I think. All right, let's go to 347-894. You're on Blue Shirt Panda Radio. Who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How you doing?
Hey Rock.
Hey, Rock. How's it going?
Good, good. Just wanted to add my two cents. I actually agree with a lot of what Ricky was saying. Not so much
what?
The Lundqvist. The glove side high, let's be honest. I mean, I think everyone's kind of known that for the last couple of years, and I think he's improving. I know he changed his glove last year from a blocking glove hand, which I never even knew existed. I didn't know your catching hand you could actually use as to knock the puck down as opposed to catching it. So I think he changed his glove last year, because I know Eliash scored a goal on him high glove last year, and then he tried it again, and he robbed him. So I think Lundqvist is improving in that spot. I mean, everyone knows that's a vulnerable spot with him, but I definitely agree that that he is improving with that. As far as the games over the weekend concern, again, Anisimov, he looks like he's flying out there. I mean, there was that one play in the first period where he beat out Greg Rivé and another defenseman. I think it might have been Monador, and he just blew by him. I mean, they were like, "Where the hell did this guy come from?" And he just flew by him, and then he drew the penalty. And Callahan almost scored in the first period, and I just said, "Wow, this guy is on fire." So
I think my reasoning is finally he's playing with some players, and I think it's a confidence thing. He's finally gotten the confidence. He knows he can take that big body to the net. He's deceptively fast. He actually, I mean, when he makes up his mind to go to the net, he's got some deceptive speed for a big man.
He's a big body. I mean, he's finally filling out. I mean, he's only, I think he's 21 or 22 opposed to filling out when you're 26, like Matt Gilroy.
I like Matt Gilroy.
Quick scoring update. The Kansas City Scouts have won in overtime over the Sabres, and it looks like the Capitals got a late goal, and they lead the Islanders 2-1 with just a minute or two left in that game.
What a shock. The Islanders lose a game after a Ranger, after they beat the Rangers. So I'm surprised. They give Washington – you know what it is? I think there's no one taking the Islanders seriously. I mean, they look at that roster, and they just look at them and say, we can sleepwalk through this game and beat this team with the players they have on the ice. But you know what it is? When you have, 9,000 fans there, and you really – the fans that are there, they're diehards. You're not playing. You know you're not making the playoffs this year. You got guys that are hungry, and they don't care, and they're just skating full blast, and there's no pressure on you. Hey, listen, you can play loose. You can be, you can play loose, and that's going to show you. Look at Toronto. You know, your boy, Eddie Clark MacArthur, I criticized you over the summer for saying the Rangers should sign. The guy has four goals in three games already.
See? Who knows better than Eddie, Rob? Nobody knows better than Eddie.
The Leafs look good.
Yeah, I finally can remember half these predictions. I don't remember saying that.
Yeah, you were saying that, and I remember I criticized you. I said, what do the Rangers need another third-line guy for? But he seems like he's found his niche with Toronto. He has 4 goals in 3 games, and Toronto looks fantastic. So if the Rangers think they're going to come in Friday night and push around the Leafs like they did all of last season, they got another thing coming.
Yeah, I think the Leafs definitely now that they haven't gotten off to that bad start and actually gotten off to a good start, they're winning right now, going, you know, their appearance just started. They're going to have a different mindset than they had last year when they got off to that horrible start when they didn't win, like, what was it, the first
another team who plays in a big market but has no expectations. And the Rangers should use it to advantage, because if you saw the other night in Buffalo, the Sabres came out and, you know, I don't want to hear back 2 nights back-to-back. It's the first and second game of the season. If you're tired already, they have issues. The Rangers came out and they totally dominated that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't take them seriously. The Rangers have an opportunity here where no one's looking at them. They're off the radar. Everybody's picking them to miss the playoffs. They have the best opportunity right now to swoop in and to knock off some teams that aren't going to take them seriously. You know, I mean, they have a great opportunity to do that. And every time the Rangers are counted as, like, the outside-looking-in team is when they usually have a decent season. So, you know, being a little optimistic, but we're hoping that you know, everything works out for this season. But I wanted to bring up
CCP just said nobody puts the Rangers in a corner.
That's great.
You said you agreed with Ricky on one point. What was the point again that you agreed with him? Not on so much on
Anisimov.
The Henrik thing.
Anisimov.
Oh, yeah.
Anisimov. And that line in general. Listen, I'm an E-Crow because I said that they should maybe think about moving either Dubinsky or Callahan. They shouldn't move any one of those guys at this point. And I went on record in saying that maybe they need to think about moving one of those guys. But the way that line is playing, the chemistry, they seem like they've developed now the first couple of games of the season. They should just leave them alone and kind of see what happens with that. So, no, I definitely agree with them with that. And as far as Bulgars, because the guys played pretty decent.
Yeah.
I don't know what anyone expects of him. He's not fast, but he seems to get to the net quick. I mean, a couple of times in the preseason and the other day against the Islanders, he seems to be always around the net. I mean, he might bang one in this year. You know, he seems like, he's just slow. And I think that scares people. It seems like the league this season, and I don't know, I'm watching a lot of the games, it looks very fast this year opposed to other years. I don't know if it's because you don't have all these aging 35-year-old veterans lingering around taking their spots. Got a lot of 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and they are flying.
Right. So, and they're not as big. I think the league has gone a little bit smaller, younger, and like you said, faster. But I guess my point was, that could be, you know. But I mean, for a guy that's, he's an enforcer. He seems to have pretty good hockey sense for what he is. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't, he doesn't look stupid out there. Like last year, Brashear looked stupid.
I think he's a better skater than Brashear and Colton Orr. I actually think he's a pretty good skater. Yeah, I just see the way he takes the corners and the way he moves his feet. He's just a big guy. So I don't know if he just looks slow because he's so big, but he's a better skater than Orr and Brashear were. That's my opinion.
Think there's no cause for concern. I like the lines. Now, what are they going to do now that Christensen's hurt? What are they looking at?
Jury played on the first line today with Frolov and Gaborik. And, Drury's not a playmaker. And those two guys need someone to get them the puck, especially Frolov, who's looked ridiculously slow. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because it's only been 2 games. But he just looks very slow. Like he's moving, at a snail's pace, and he's like la-di-dying on the ice. But we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It's only been 2 games, so hopefully, he turns the corner there. But I guess Drury is going to get that spot by default, because I wouldn't mess around with the other three lines. If Christensen can't go, I would just put him up there, and, why mess around with the other three lines? The other three lines have been playing really well. Even the fourth line's played well. So now when Christensen comes back, he might find himself as the odd guy out, especially if Drury has success. And that's my biggest concern is when Drury comes back, you know, he's a good penalty killer, but he's not really the goal scorer that I think Christensen could be. So you're taking away a skill factor for another guy that's just really there to kill penalties. So I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, I like that situation, and Mandar is saying in the chat room, and I believe too. Gabrick is not a guy who needs to be set up. Gabrick will create his own goals and will set you up himself. And, I mean, I don't know,
Maybe that'll benefit Drury then by playing with him.
Maybe. I don't know. But
the ice up a little.
They miss Drury on the face-offs. They miss Drury penalty killing.
Yes.
And I really think that the special teams has been great so far. I mean, it's only two games again. But, the guys that they have, they're putting Boyle out there. They're putting Prust killing penalties. I love the fact they put Gabrick out there.
Fedotenko's been great killing penalties, too.
Right. And we haven't even mentioned Ruslan and how good he's played.
Yeah, because he hasn't put any points up yet. But he's due. I think he's due for a big game. I think he's doing the little things well. And he's opening the ice for Stefan. I mean, he definitely did it against Buffalo. He took two guys out in the corner on the second goal by Stefan. So, you know, he's getting his big body in the way, and he's bumping guys off the puck. And, you know, he's hustling. He's doing everything you can ask him to do except for put the puck in the net so far. But like you said, two games in.
I mean, it's two games, but wouldn't you agree, just on this two-game assessment, there are no floaters out there. Like, you know, I couldn't tell you what Envalisen did in the shift. I mean, last year, there aren't these guys like what they do the whole game. I see every line contributing. What they do, the Avery, Stepan, Fedotenko line, they're doing what they're supposed to do. The fourth line is doing what they're supposed to do. All right, the first line hasn't gotten so many goals, but I see Frolov looks good. The only guy, I think Christensen did score in the first game. And the second line looks good. So far, so good. I think Tortorella, he didn't seem fazed by that out in the game. And I think it just stung just a little bit more because it was those dumbasses we lost to. But they had defensive breakdowns.
Yeah.
But
they
didn't take the line.
Seriously.
What?
And they even admitted it in the post game. They didn't take that team seriously. They saw
How
their lineup.
They not take What happened? See, now you tell me that, now I fly off the handle.
Okay.
Because wasn't the whole offseason, every 2 points matters. We lost by a shootout. We've got to know that every game is important. And then they come out like that. They say something stupid like that.
That first 10 minutes, Eddie, of that game, they were all over us. They were all
there.
Over us that first 10 minutes of the game. They were standing around watching the team. Yeah. It was horrible, the first 10 minutes of that game, and then they figured it out, and then those two penalties threw them down. So it is what it is. But what I want to also bring up today's the two-year anniversary of the death of Alexei Sharapanov. And, you look at this roster, and you're really – I know I'm impressed from what I've seen so far from the younger guys and the guys, some of the guys coming up at Hartford. You can only imagine if that kid, you know – didn't pass on, you know, what we would have coming through the system. And, it's just a shame that he dies at such a young age. I just wanted to bring that up because
that
are coming up that, you know, this guy could have been, God only knows how the talent that this kid could have, that this kid possessed and how good he could have been. So
was Sharapanov Gordy Clark's first draft? Or was that,
Gordy
Clark? I'm not sure on that.
Did Gordy Clark draft Sanguinetti?
No.
I don't think.
Wait.
That might have been his first draft, because I don't remember him making the pick for Sanguinetti. I actually don't even remember who picked Sanguinetti. I know he picked Sharapanov.
Maybe it was Joey Pacino. We got to have him on the show.
Yeah. Jeez, what a character that guy was.
I remember when Sharapanov dropped to 17, I was like jumping through the ceiling. But, I guess everything works out for a reason. And for a while, I thought the Rangers had a curse on first-round picks, especially when
he came to forwards,
because every first-round pick they seem to draft either gets hurt or is a dog, as far as forwards are concerned. Goaltending and defensemen, they seem to have a little bit better luck with drafting in the first round. But whatever forward they seem to pick seem to turn to dust before they make it to the NHL.
Literal.
But
yeah, it's, you know, it is a sad day, and unfortunately, I mean, I know that the wasn't that somewhat of a an overdose, right, or something?
I was reading up on it recently, and from what they said, that he might have been taking I don't know if the fat burners or something that messed with his heart.
I'm not familiar with those.
So that kind of messed with it also. But, you know, everything's inconclusive. And you know how Russia is. Everything's a deep, deep, dark secret. And, you know, everyone has their own their own story behind it. And there was no conclusive evidence exactly what was wrong with him. The only thing they found, they said, that was he had some kind of coronary blockage in his heart or some kind of problem with his heart. When he skated and everything else. So
wasn't there some kind of, there was controversy that it was an hour or something before he received real medical attention?
They didn't have a defibrillator in the arena.
Yeah.
They had no AED, which is what shocks you when your heart stops. They had no defibrillator in the arena. So they had to transport him. And the other thing that I also heard was they had sent the ambulance. They usually have an ambulance standing on call, and they told the ambulance they could leave because I think there was only 10 minutes left in the game, and they told the ambulance that they could leave, and they were already had left at that point, and it took, I don't know, like 20 minutes or 30 minutes for them to get an ambulance to come back. And by that point, I mean, after like 10 minutes, you're pretty much brain dead at that point. So not to get and to bring everybody down.
Let's honor the kid. I mean,
I have a lot of his hockey cards. I collected everything. Sure, I have autographed pictures. I have pucks. I have a lot.
Yeah,
of his
he
stuff.
Was.
So
you know, there are a lot of young guys who just got into the Rangers at that time. That was really disheartening to see him pass like that, and just from a human standpoint, and then a Rangers standpoint as well. And, you know, listen, you know, you said, you know, everything's a secret in Russia. You combine that with the Rangers, and you've got a perfect storm for secrecy.
Oh, yeah, it's the perfect scenario.
Cloak
and dagger. That's why they like Russian players so much.
That's why
they like bringing over the Russian players so much, because they fit the mold of what they like to do. They're unbelievable.
Right. I like it.
Well, the other last thing I wanted to ask you guys was the Tim Kennedy thing, and you know I like Tim Kennedy. I thought he played great in preseason. Obviously, I saw something that the rest of the beat writers and the Garden and the Rangers and, you know, a lot of people didn't see, or maybe I missed something. I thought he played great in the preseason. Again, he didn't score, which I don't know. I guess that's a factor now when you're evaluating somebody. They sent him down and left Todd White here, and you know Larry Brooks. He's, you know, how cynical and how, you know, how much he loves hearing himself talk, but I think he's right with this. They did it 3 years ago with Pat Rismiller. They left him hanging around, doing nothing, sitting on the bench. They waited half the season to send him down. Now, Todd White, is he going to play? I mean, is he?
I don't know. I think he's going to be a healthy scratch.
$2.35 million sitting on the cap for a guy. What is his purpose?
He got a good look, in preseason. He played all situations. I think they're looking for him, you know, if there's another injury. I mean, if you think about it, you lose Prosper, who's a potential center. You lost Drury there, and now you got another center. If Todd White is your third backup center or your second backup center, again, does money justify it? Probably not.
But Kennedy's making $550,000. You mean to tell me he can't do the same job Todd White can do? Fill in with somebody hurt?
I can't tell you what Todd White. I haven't seen enough of Todd. You know, and I frankly haven't seen enough of Kennedy. Although I'm with you, Rock. I you know, we do the Kennedy bit here at the beginning. It's mainly because I like the lad. I mean, I like him a lot. You know, I don't know why. I think it's, I think basically, you know, I always like a bargain. I mean, they really got him, and he seems to have some good offense to him. But right now, you know, I don't understand it, but.
Because he banished him now. He's done. They're not bringing him back. Unless they're going to do the kid a favor if he plays well in Hartford and bring him, call him back up so someone can claim him for half his salary. Because basically he's banished there. I mean, he's not coming back up. Because somebody's going to claim for that price. And the only thing I could think of, and I threw this around before, was unless they just don't want to turn Hartford into a dumping ground for over-the-hill veterans. I guess maybe they figure maybe Kennedy still has little potential. Maybe he plays down there, lights it up, and then maybe they can trade him. Or he spends the entire season down there. They still hold his rights for next season. And hopefully that they re-sign him and he cracks the lineup next year.
I hope it's what you initially said, because I'm sick and tired of seeing the Wolf Pack or the Whale or whatever they are this week. You know, being a place where players go to die or to just wait in hockey limbo. I would like to see some development. Say, for instance, he outplays MZA down there. Hopefully he's the first call up, when there's an injury. Say he outplays Weiss or whatever the pecking order is down there. Maybe I think their intention is to play the guy. And while I have this second, Cutter TML is reminding me that he has two new videos up on Leafs Crisis, and also he's talking junk about this Friday when we face his Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, he's nuts. Hey, Rob, we got to go. We're going to take some other calls, buddy.
Be good.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Later.
How are you? 631-974, you're on Blue Shirt Band Radio. Thank you for holding. Who is this?
That's the crazy one.
Oh, boy.
How are you? How you doing?
What's going on, Costa?
I got a vent about something from Monday night, or Monday afternoon, I mean, about brother Newman. I got a real deep bone to pick with that guy.
Oh, well.
John Newman?
I got a problem with that guy. Well, it's a real funny thing.
Hold on. Now I got no problem with you telling the story. The only problem is that for some odd reason Newman's not here to defend himself tonight. So we'll have to give Newman his equal time next week. But go ahead.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. But here's the deal. During the national anthem, he's being this drunken menace to society. Let's go Rangers. Whatever. And that, you know, I have no problem with that. If he wants to act like an idiot during the national anthem, that's fine. Whatever, you know, to each his own. But as soon as I do my shtick, like with calling the ice girls, the ice whores, the ice pigs, when the fans are chanting DP sucks, and then I chime with dick, DP sucks dick, DP sucks dick, he gets all uppity about it.
Now see, I'm surprised to hear this, because I've heard from some very reliable sources that at the games, Newman is, at least at Madison Square Garden, he's quite boisterous and out of control.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I mean, if I want to call the ice girls ice whores, ice pigs, you know, that's my bit, you know.
It's your stick.
What?
It's your stick.
Exactly. And if I want to say deep, if I want to chant dick, when people chant DP sucks dick, you know,
well,
that's fine. I just find that very hypocritical of him doing that.
Now, what did he exactly say to you?
He's like, he's giving me the sign, you know, calm down, you know. I'm like, calm down. Calm down. What are you doing? What the hell are you going to do during the national anthem?
He's a prick.
No,
I don't think anybody has to, if I pay my money, I get to say what I want. That's the way
exactly.
I do it.
I don't tell fans what to do. I expect the same courtesy.
I agree.
You're in the game with a guy. You don't want to hear. You're supposed to be on the same team. You're compadres. You're compatriots. You go, you're wearing your Ranger stuff. You don't want to be told, hey, pipe down from a fellow fan.
Claude was dying. Claude was hilarious what I was doing.
Was Newman concerned about perhaps raising the ire of Islander security?
Yeah, okay. unless he was concerned with Eva and their son, I'm like, let me tell you something. You want family entertainment? Three words. Disney on Ice, all right? If Eva had a problem with what I was doing, why don't you just tell me yourself, I was like, okay, I have no problem with that. I respect your wishes. But to have Newman tell me to calm down, yeah, go screw Newman. Go screw.
Wow.
Well, we'll wait for Newman's response next.
I can't wait for his response. Let me see what he's going to say.
Well, I guess we'll have to, wait for next week, and we'll give this equal time. Maybe we'll get the two of you on together get a little detente going or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I'll say I'm on Costa's side on this one. I think when you're at a game, I mean, if a parent tells you to be quiet and you're offensive, well, yeah, okay, you were adults here. I'll tame it down, but I'll change the words around so it's G-rated. But I'll still get my point across. But I don't like fellow Ranger fans showing me up at the Coliseum. I think that's a little disloyal. And I've seen I'm one of those reliable sources. I've seen Newman half in the bag, all drunk on Jack and Coke, yelling like a maniac in a blue seat. And he's telling Costa to be quiet? You know what? I got a problem with you now, Newman.
Uh-oh. Now it's on. I just sent John a message and I said, you're missing the show and you're getting blasted. Be prepared to defend yourself next week.
Yeah.
All right, Costa.
All right, I'm punching out. Thanks.
I'll talk to you later. Bye. Costa's got a, he's either got a, I don't, he's either got a Bluetooth, I believe, or something. He's got to either get on the phone or he's got to get a better Bluetooth or something. I have a hard time hearing him, and I think people in the chat room have a hard time understanding him as well. So we might have to get him off the shoe phone for next week. He's in the cone of silence. All right, we got 7 minutes to go. I guess let me check. I got to check the range. We've only been promising these people for 6 weeks that we'd give them the show schedule, and we still haven't done it because we haven't gone over it yet. But you'll figure it out. I'm looking at the Rangers schedule real quick so I can tell you what night we'll be on next week. Hold on, I don't remember when they have a game next week. Let me see here. Come on. We will be back next Wednesday night again for Blue Shirt Banner Radio at 8 o'clock. The Rangers play Friday night against the Leafs and then Monday night against Colorado. And then we'll be back Wednesday night before the Rangers travel to Toronto for another game. So we'll be back next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to two games, I think, against teams that a little bit of infusion of youth. The Leafs got some young guys, and Colorado is all about the youth movement over there. And we'll see how they'll measure up. I think they'll do well. I like the lines. Bottom line, I'm not panicking yet. you know. I'm just going to sit back and after like 10, 12 games, I think we'll know where this team is. Although last year we thought we knew where this team was at the 10, 12 games, so we got burned big time.
Yeah, after 10 games, Mandar said they were a cup contender. And then I think 10 games later, we were sitting here saying, we're going to make the playoffs this year.
Ah, and it's going to be Kristen's birthday next Wednesday. A special birthday show. Maybe we'll sing happy birthday to her live on the air.
It's Kristen. Kristen's birthday. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Very nice. Sorry, I was reading a message from Ricky. Well, a special birthday show. We'll come up with something special for Chris. Let's bring in Mandar. He's been listening along, following in the chat, doing what he does. He is the Sean Avery of our chat room. He's been instigating and slapping people on the back of the head with his stick all night, and now here he is for the last couple of minutes of the show. Good evening, Mandar. How are you?
Oh, good, Jim. That's the first time I've heard you describe me like that.
Well, I think it's apropos.
Yeah,
right, well,
I got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh. What is it? Boy, we got Charles Yang. What, Charles Yang?
Charles Yang.
And Charles Wang calling up problems, and he's mad at Eddie, and Eddie's mad at Mandar, and Costa's mad.
I'm not mad at Mandar.
I'm not really mad at Mandar.
All right.
Islanders aren't going to get double digits. Wins
and they're still
December,
not.
But they beat the Rangers.
So what?
That's one in the books.
I go back into history. The worst team in history, in NHL history, was the Caps' first season. That was the year the Rangers actually even made the playoffs, and they beat the Rangers. The Rangers lose to terrible teams every year. It means nothing.
They are a terrible team. That's why.
What do you mean? You don't think that's just because the genius decided to start changing lines again in the third period? Well, actually, even before the third period. What I don't get is now he's changing lines when it doesn't even when the offense isn't even going wrong. I don't get that.
Hold on, Mandar. I got to ask you a question. Refresh my memory. The Islanders will not have double-digit wins by when? When is that date?
It's mid-September is what I said. But I'm sorry, December. Mid-December.
Mid-December. Well, okay, by the time we get to mid-December, the Islanders will have played the Rangers three times.
Okay.
Okay. So, and then there's one more game
yet.
In late December. So, okay, so you might be safe.
You might.
The Islanders will be 4-20 with all four wins against the Rangers.
And that's a possibility. That's a distinct possibility.
Actually, it'd be 3-20.
Oh my God! I hear this talk before. One of the guys was saying, "Oh, they hustle. They've got a great future." No, they played a team that didn't respond because they have no response. Notice again, I go back to the coaching. I hate to be harping on Torts all the time, but he has no answer. He has no preparation. Do you not know going into this game that the Islanders were gonna forecheck two men deep every time like they did all six games last year? Is this new to you, you freaking genius? And you still have no answer. This is what I mean. I'm sorry, but this is ridiculous. You know, and I just can't see, and we're panicking. I mean, I want to say one thing about Delzato. Yes, Delzato had a glaring giveaway, and I think he was also directly responsible for the second goal. But I hate the people that are using the excuse that, oh, he's only 19 or he's only 20. Fellas, anybody who's played hockey knows, if you're a defenseman, you don't cut in front of your net with the puck, ever.
No,
not
I
because,
agree.
And when you have a forechecker bearing in on you, that's not a 19-year-old mistake. That's a 5-year-old mistake. You get that up the board. You skate it up the board. You don't have a. I'm sorry about this. Oh, he's 19. He's only a rookie. That's garbage. You're not making a rookie mistake. You're making a peewee mistake there. It's like you don't shoot it up the middle from behind your own net. You don't go ahead and cut in front of your goalie with the puck as a defenseman coming out of your zone. And so I'm tired of that garbage. Other than they're playing loose. They haven't found, you know, their defensive chemistry yet. I don't think Gilroy's the answer over Emminger. That's negligible playing, you know, third pair defensive minutes. him and his 4 goals and 10 assists or whatever he had last year isn't going to increase the offense any that much. So Girardi's played well, though, and I think that they'll be fine. You watch what they'll do against Toronto. They'll come out flying. Maybe Ricky will go ahead and be able to sit down and have a good time with himself there if there's a fight or two. So everybody will be happy.
Real quick, 30 seconds to go. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. We'll see you next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And this just in, when the Rangers take on the Rangers will be taking on the unbeaten Toronto Maple Leafs on Friday night. The Leafs have beaten the Penguins in Pittsburgh.
Wow. Oh, I picked them. If you go to those earlier shows, I mean, it's so early. I'm not going to get crazy. But, again, I said they would be surprising. I remember D.B. Maven going, who? Who do they have? I was like, well, then. Oh, they got such a bad start. I like their defense. They got a good, pretty good defenseman.
Yeah, but they put Jeff Finger on waivers, and they're going to send them down.
That was a great headline yesterday. Leafs wave Finger.
And,
I love that.
I like your Garinette. Getting jiggy with it.
Well, that's the big difference for them right there.
Yeah. They have some steadiness in goal.
Definitely.
I mean, but they only got like 1.5 lines, but well, hey, there you go.
Getting off to a good start doesn't mean anything, right?
Not really.
Not really.
Found that out last time. All right, fellas, I love you. Hugs and kisses to the wives and families.
All right, boys, have a good night. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Good night.